Well, Doc, it's good to be back this morning for the Word for Life radio broadcast. I hope you had a good night last night. Trust the Lord will give us a great time together. We have spent quite a bit of time now talking about our life and answering the question, what is your life, out of James? You gave us some great information on the life of Joseph, the man who got to live his dream. But the scriptures also talk about different individuals who had all kinds of opportunities and didn't even have some of the obstacles that Joseph had, and yet, in spite of all that they had, they didn't quite make the dream. They didn't quite live out the dream. And I think you're going to tell us about one of those men today in the life of Lot.
Yes. In Genesis chapter 19 and verse 30, there is an interesting phrase at the end. It says, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. I have preached a message from the life of Lot called Lessons from a Caveman. What can I learn from a caveman? How did this man end up living in a cave? But not only living in a cave, Sam, he had his two daughters with him. And by his two daughters, he fathered Moab and Ammon, two nations that grew up to hate God.
That's incredible.
It would be an unusual young man or young woman who would go into a high school interview with the guidance counselor, and the question would be given, what do you plan to do with your life? And he would say, well, I want to graduate from high school first, and then I want to go to college and learn a profession. Like to become a professional something and begin to make a lot of money, then meet a woman to become my wife, then be able to buy a nice home, and then God hopefully would give us children, and then I would like to find the most wicked city in the world and move my family right in the middle of that wicked city, and then I would want my children to fall in love with the system of that city and my wife to be wrapped up in all of the worldliness of that city. And then I would like God to start the process of destroying everything for which we've worked. I'd like him to take my wife. The only thing I would ask is that I would have two daughters left. And by my two daughters, I would like to father two nations that would hate God. What kind of a goal would that be? And someone said, no one would have that goal. I say that to illustrate the point. People who end up in the wrong place never had that set as a goal. They had a dream like Joseph. To be in the right place. But here was Joseph, in every adversity, ended up in the right place. And here was Lot, who had every opportunity, ended up in the wrong place.
And I think that is so powerful. I mean, when you paint it that way, just listening to you, I'm shaking my head saying, if Lot could go back and relive his whole life, I think he would probably pick the day that he made the decision that set him down on that path. Can you talk a little bit about the advantages that Lot had that maybe Joseph didn't have?
If we look in Genesis 13, we find the steps. In other words, we ask, how did Lot end up the way he ended up? With total loss and shame. And we see, first of all, in Genesis 13, the chance that Lot had. So we will conclude that Lot did not end up where he ended up because he did not have a good chance. He did not have a dysfunctional setting like Joseph had. In chapter 13 and verse 1, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Now, Lot's father, Haran, had died. And brother Abraham took his brother's child, Lot, and saw to it that everything he had coming to him, he received. And so Lot had a great chance because of a family connection. It would be a real blessing to be able to say, for anyone to be able to say, the godliest man alive in this generation is my best friend and my uncle. Just think what a chance that would be.
And that certainly is the picture the text paints. I mean, Abraham was more than just, you know, Lot's caretaker.
Right. He was his best friend. In fact, later he proved when he hears Lot is captured, after Lot makes this horrible choice, Abraham gets his servants and gets all of his servants and goes and rescues Lot. I mean, you stop to think, said, put your pots and pans on, boys. We've got to go get my nephew. And he went against the five title kings that had made the attack in that. So you know he was his best friend. Because sure. If he had been old, bitter Uncle Abraham, well, he said, the Brad has what is coming to him. Maybe he'll get his clock cleaned on there or wouldn't let me do it. Abraham didn't have that mentality yet. It was his best friend. And he had a great chance because of his finances as well. I tell our students, do not resent the fact that you face financial pressure. Far better you learn how to face financial pressure and see God faithful than never know a need. Lot had too much, in my opinion, without a price. In any generation, those of you who are parents, you know in this generation you have the income generally to give the kids anything they want, anything they desire. But you had better be careful that you don't just hand things to them without them learning how to run a chainsaw or swing an axe or mow lawns or do something that is character building for them.
Hmm.
Like a man had a big garden, and I said, you're rich enough. Why would you need to raise a garden? He said, I'm not raising a garden. I'm raising boys. And that is, you know, building that character
wow.
in.
And that's something that's almost non-existent in our society today.
Right.
We're so guilty as parents because we are so wrapped up and so busy with life that sometimes we, like you're saying, we have the ability, we have the income. And sometimes it's not just income that drives it. Sometimes it's image that goes into all of this. And I know that plays into some of what you're talking about here.
We see our kids have to have the best. But anyway, Lot had a great chance. I mean, just think two things, his family from Uncle Abraham mm-hmm. and his finances. Because it's evident that Lot also was very wealthy based on what he had received from his father, because it says that Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. In fact, later it caused a problem. It was the abundance that caused the problem that came in.
Do you think Lot felt that he had that? Do you think Lot understood his wealth? Or do you think Lot was frustrated that he didn't have more?
Oh, I think he would have recognized what he had based on, again, of comparing what other people his age would have had in a context like that, because God had blessed Abraham and Abi had blessed his father Haran. And there would have been that comparison. I think I don't think he appreciated what he had, because he was just going along. He didn't have to make any major steps of faith. Abraham was doing all of that. All he had to do was pack up, and Abe says, go, let's roll. And interesting, when you look at the life of Abraham, it's a life built of altars. You do not see one record of an altar in the life of Lot.
Wow.
So the only evidence we had that Lot was God's child is a New Testament statement, and God delivered just Lot.
Hmm.
If you followed Lot's life, there'd be no indication that he was a child of God.
That's powerful. Powerful observation that there were no altars in Lot's life. That tells you where God was on his priority list.
Yes.
And that's a good reminder for all of us. I know our listeners are oftentimes consumed with the necessity of paying bills, and we go to work to obtain resources to do and pay and all the things that are going on in our life, and sometimes we fail to appreciate, like you're saying, what we have. Most of our listeners have way more than two-thirds of the world's population, and yet how often is God absent from our life? I mean, if we were to really sit down and evaluate the statement about what altars are in our life, I wonder how many of those altars would really be altars to God.
What role does God play in our daily life?
Hmm.
A good way to judge your life, how do you spend your first waking hour? And when you determine, well, how do you spend your first waking hour, you'll pretty well determine what is number one in your life.
Hmm.
Beyond the practical aspects of that, obviously we have to get up, and those of us who are coffee drinkers, to get our hearts pumping and get in shape. I was jokingly telling our staff I'm going to write a booklet called The Light Is on the Pot, It's All Well in the World. And sure, there's tsunami, but hey, the light's on in the pot.
Hey, well, we've got our coffee right here that we're drinking
yes.
now.
But how do you spend your first? And the second thing, show me your calendar and your checkbook register, and I can also tell you what's controlling your life. So when we look at the chance that we have, we live in a country of abundance. Most of the people are not wealthy, but they have never lacked. Over half of the world's population has never slept in a bed. And yet we complain if we do not have a sort of sleep perfect or whatever the latest mattress is that is going on his side and her side, mm-hmm. and one's hot and the other's cold and one's adjustable and one's, you know what I'm saying?
We've got sleep down to a science, don't we?
But we don't have rest.
that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, we've got the beds, but we don't have the rest. And that comes from a settled heart and a settled conscience. But you see the chance that Lot had, which is the point we want to emphasize today. You may have a great chance. A great chance early on does not guarantee a great future.
So if life really is a vapor, and we've been kind of looking at this from a lot of different perspectives, and we want to make it count, the fact that we happen to be born into a family of a certain religious orientation or we had a good education or we had financial well-being does not necessarily guarantee us that we will end up being and making our life count. Just like the fact that we didn't have those things doesn't mean we won't end up making those things count. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Because it all depends on the heart response to what to God. Look at Samson. Who could have had a better beginning than Samson? Mom and Dad gave him to God before he was born. Godly parents. Godly heritage. And yet he died of fallen arches. Pardon my play on words there. But
a tragic, and you're not talking about McDonald's either.
No.
Because you could die of those arches
right?
too.
A tragic death that came. And you say, why? You can just picture Mom and Dad getting word what happened to Samson. And this is not in the text, but you could let my imagination run. Mom and Dad going down, filtering through all these huge stones and from this fallen temple. And yes, yeah, there's my boy right there. Mm. There he is.
Mm.
We found him.
What a tragic picture.
Yeah, he had a great beginning.
Mm.
And yet, interestingly, God used him as a judge. But he was going to have his way in that.
Doc, I'm going to let you wrap it up for us here in about 30 seconds. But let me just let our listeners know that we do have a book that we would like to make available to them, obviously, as they write in and let us know what God is doing in their life. And as they talk about their life being a vapor and making their life count, we'd love to hear from you who are out there listening. If the program has been a blessing to you, if you'll send a donation of $10, which will go to helping offset the cost of this broadcast, we would love to send you a copy of the Les Olala story, A Man Among Them. I'd like to let you wrap up here with a final thought on Lot as we think about the chance that Lot had. What kind of person must Lot have been? What went on in Lot's mind so that he blew that chance? And how can we avoid that?
We're going to get into a little hint later, maybe a mistake that Abram may have made, that they have set a pattern that was in the life of Lot, but he was still responsible for the choice that he made. To me, he just did not take advantage of the godly influence that he had. I think he bypassed the godly influence for the visible possession. Instead of seeing the godly heart that Abram had, that was not what he learned from. He learned from the things that he saw.
What a great lesson for dads.
Yeah.
In staying out of church or not taking advantage of the places where God has made those influences available. We're teaching our boys, aren't we?
Yeah, I think Abraham, by a faithless step to Egypt, created a thirst in Lot that he never quite overcame. Because he makes an interesting statement later when he chose what he chose. He said it was like the land of Egypt. And there may be a hint that, Dad, we better be careful what values we are setting. And if we make a step of faith, what are we exposing our children to?
And we'll look forward to developing that thought in our next time together.